Yes, it's 1903 document, but she received this land. This is a power of attorney that she wrote.
Lietta Osborne Sampson sifts through a pile of yellowed, worn documents at a library in Midwest City. She's showing me tribal identity cards and records containing information about her ancestors from the Dawes Rolls. Some cards belong to her dad, grandfather, and other relatives. One record stands out.
And this is Minerva Maupins, who's my great, great grandmother, who we all stem from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the reason why I brought it is to show you how deep and how long we've been in this tribe.
Lietta's ancestor, Minerva Maupins, was a Seminole freedman, one of about 2,000 descendants of freed slaves who consider themselves part of the Seminole Nation by law. The law dates back to 1866. Like many in the South at that time, Native tribal members owned slaves. When slavery was abolished, the U.S. and all five civilized tribes signed a treaty granting citizenship to those freed slaves. They would now be full members of the tribe. Fast forward 150 years, and the tribes are now debating the meaning of that treaty.
Seminole Nation's 1866 treaty, we have a paragraph and a half that they wrote on us. That, you know, we are going to be, long as the grass grow and the rivers flow, we shall be one.
Does it grant them full citizenship rights or not? Full citizenship includes access to housing, health care, job placement programs, and other benefits. And tribal members now argue that the only people who can access those full rights are those who can prove their ancestry by blood. Lietta Osborne Sampson says changing the rules after all this time is racist.
We are members of this tribe, and they still deny us because we are black without showing that we have the Indian blood. But we can date back as far as 1666 that we are Seminole.
When the Seminole Nation voted its freedmen out of the tribe, that the U.S. would cut off its government-to-government relationship with the Seminoles if it, in fact, had the election and then went through with the effect of voting them out. And so when the Seminoles did that, the United States did not recognize the Seminole Nation government, cut off funding to them, fined them about $11 million for gaming illegally.
That's John Veeley, the lawyer who represented Lietta and other Seminole freedmen in 2000 when the tribe tried unsuccessfully to kick them out. Veeley argued that Seminole freedmen were citizens based on the 1866 treaty. But records show their association with the tribe dates back long before that. In the 1700s, when the Seminole Nation was based in Florida, historical documents show that runaway slaves became part of the tribe, and that Africans fought alongside the Indians during the Seminole Wars in the early 1800s. But this long history still doesn't equal Native bloodlines.
The position of the tribes are is that if we're going to be given words and associations with things like sovereignty and things of that nature, well, then it is absolutely that tribe's business as far as who they allow as membership.
At a recent tribal council meeting at the Meccosukee Mission in Seminole, the tribe's director of transportation, Robert McCulley, fanned his face to cool off in the Oklahoma humidity while he waited outside for his turn to speak to the council. He says he and other tribal officials have nothing against the freedmen. He says it's a matter of sovereignty.
I would hesitate at all to call it a race issue at all. It's just a matter of principle and a matter of practice as far as who we are as a people and how we govern ourselves.
He's not questioning the freedmen's citizenship as it's laid out in the treaty, but he says full benefits of tribal membership should only go to those who can prove their bloodline. And here's where it gets even more complicated. Tribes receive federal funding for things like housing and health care based on their membership. And they count the freedmen among their ranks when they give those numbers. Freedman Lietta Osborne Sampson says if they're counted, they should be entitled to those benefits too.
The principle is our heritage. This is a part of our heritage. This is not a handout. This is not someone asking for charity. This is a people that belong here. And this is how I was raised and always been in this nation.
By denying the freedmen access to some tribal benefits, they are technically in violation of federal law. But what this really comes down to is two historically disadvantaged populations, each fighting for what they think is right. On the one hand, sovereignty for Native American tribes. On the other hand, restitution for many years of slavery and fulfilling a promise made so many years ago. Neither group is backing down. For KOSU, I'm Allison Herrera.